If you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke 19 and verses 1 through 10. You'll find that on page 1039 in your pew Bibles. And our passage this morning is a familiar one. It tells the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. A lot of you know Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And we're going to talk about him some this morning. And we're going to read the whole passage, all 10 verses, just for context. But we're really, for the message this morning, we're just going to be focusing on verse 10. Our focus will be on the final verse of the passage as we bring God's word this morning. So we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at Zacchaeus' story, and especially, Lord, as we look at this final verse in this passage, Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly to our hearts this morning. I pray that you would speak as clearly to us as you spoke to Zacchaeus up in the tree on that day when you two met. Lord, speak to us today. Give us open hearts and willing ears to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Someone's after you. Now, I'm not trying to feed your paranoia. Okay, this isn't some government plot or conspiracy. It's not the New World Order, but there's someone after you. Someone following close behind you. He's shadowing your every move, dogging your every step. And you can try your best to shake him, but you never will. And until your dying day, he will be right there, unswerving, unstopping, inescapable. Now, some of you are saying, wait, I thought tax season was over. He's got to be talking about the IRS, right? You make me sound like some kind of fugitive. No, I'm not talking about the IRS. And yes, you are some kind of fugitive. But the one following you is not a deputy or a private detective or even an enemy. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one whom the scriptures say came to seek and to save. Our scripture passage this morning talks about the story of Zacchaeus, but we're only going to refer to Zacchaeus here and there throughout the message. Our focus this morning in the message is on Jesus Christ, and especially on verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost. Because Jesus is the real focus of this story. Did you know, apart from Jesus, we would never even have heard about Zacchaeus? Right? Zacchaeus was just a two-bit fraud, a schemer, and a traitor. He's just a small-time con artist who never would have even made the first page or the front page. Never would have heard of him, except that someone was after him. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Seeker, the Savior. For although Jesus is a Savior, he is first and foremost a seeking Savior. And that's what our message is all about this morning. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So first of all, the Son of Man came to seek. He came to seek. And that word seek implies intention and purpose. It speaks about a diligent searching after, leaving no stone unturned. If you've ever seen the movie The Fugitive, think of Deputy Marshal Gerard hot on the trail of fugitive Dr. Kimball. That's Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He came, first of all, to seek. Now, we often think in terms of people seeking after God, right? There's an emptiness within each of us that each of us seeks to fill in various ways. And the various religions of the world show that, yes, there is a certain seeking in the hearts of man. The Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Acts, chapter 17. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." And then Paul continues. He said, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. But you see, there's just one problem with us seeking after God. And you know what that problem is? We don't do it. We don't actually do it. Psalm 14:2 says this, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, to see if there are any who seek God. You say, well, are there any? And the Apostle Paul gives us the answer in Romans chapter 3. He says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. You see, we do not naturally seek God. We seek to avoid him. We seek to escape him. We feel the void within, that emptiness within, and we seek to fill it, but we don't seek to fill it with God. Sometimes we try to fill it with material things, such as wealth or position or status. Sometimes we try to fill it with destructive things, such as drugs or alcohol or promiscuity. Sometimes we even try to fill it with religious things, such as idols or rituals or good works or charity or even going to church, right? But the truth is, we do not actually seek God on our own. What we seek to do is to fill the void. You see, only God can fill it. The French philosopher Pascal said it this way, within each person there is a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. So God looked down from heaven to see if there was anyone who would seek him. And when he saw that there was none who would seek him, God took it upon himself to come and seek us. And you know, it's always been that way. Ever since sin entered the human race, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they do? Did they go seeking God? No, they ran the other way. They hid from him in the garden. God had to come seeking after them. How do you try to hide from God? What walls or defenses have you thrown up? See, it doesn't matter. God still seeks you out. He came seeking Adam and Eve in the garden, and he seeks after you. In fact, the whole history of salvation shows God seeking. God sought Abraham and called him out from his people. God sought Jacob. Jacob wasn't looking for God. Jacob was on the run. God came seeking him and met him at Bethel in a dream. We know Jacob wasn't seeking God because Jacob tells us so. When Jacob woke up from his dream, what did he say? He said, surely the Lord was in this place, but I didn't know it. Why? He wasn't seeking God. God was seeking him. How about Moses? Moses wasn't seeking God in the wilderness. Moses was tending sheep. God came seeking Moses and called him from the burning bush. And then through Moses, God called an entire nation to himself. And so we see this pattern continues and continues throughout history. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God, but God seeks us. The Son of Man came to seek. Do you know what it really means to seek God? The Bible says it means to love him with all your heart, to desire his presence, to walk in all his ways, to hunger and thirst after the God who made you, to let everything else go in wild abandon in order that you might know the Lord your God. I once read a story about a man who wanted to know what it meant to seek God. So he asked his teacher, he said, "Teacher, what does it mean to seek God?" The teacher said, "Come with me." Brought him to the river. He said, "Come on in." And they walked into the river. He thought, "What's he going to do? Baptize me?" Sure enough, puts him under the water. Shoomp. And holds him there. And holds him. And holds him. And he thought, "This is not a baptism, is it?" And he holds him. And, you know, he's beginning to struggle. And he still holds him there. And holds him and holds him. And finally lets him up. And, he's sputtering, gasping for breath. And the teacher told his student, he said, "When you desire God like you just desired air, that's when you are seeking God." That's what it means to seek God. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 63. We read these earlier in the service. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. And because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands." You see, until God does a work in our hearts, until God brings a change in our hearts, none of us seeks God like that, right? Not even David. Why did David seek God like that? Because David had already tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He had seen God in the sanctuary. He had beheld God's power and his glory. David could seek God like that because God had already found him. Remember, how did he begin the psalm? "Oh God, you are my God." That's why David could seek him. God says in Jeremiah 29:13, he says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." But before God ever says that, first, he says this in verse 8, "I will come to you." You see, God seeks us first so that we may then seek him. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus wasn't seeking God. He'd heard about Jesus. He was curious about him. He wanted to see him. But he wasn't looking for any direct confrontation. He certainly didn't want a conversation with Jesus. And boy, Zacchaeus got the surprise of his life when Jesus stopped directly beneath his hiding place and called out to him, "Zacchaeus, come down." But you know, it was not a surprise to God, because God had been seeking Zacchaeus all his life. God had shown Zacchaeus his goodness in the sun and the rain, with good food, family, and provision. He had convicted Zacchaeus' conscience of wrongdoing and his need for forgiveness. Day after day, God was seeking just the right time and place to overwhelm Zacchaeus' heart with his grace, his love, and his forgiveness. Now, even that sycamore tree was part of God's plan. God was there when the seed first germinated. God was there when the sprout first sprang up. And God knew even then that this tree would become the meeting place for Jesus and Zacchaeus. In other words, this was no accidental meeting here. The Son of Man came to seek, and he found Zacchaeus on that day. So that's our first point. The Son of Man came to seek. Secondly, the Son of Man came to save. And that's so important because that means we have no need to fear the one who seeks us, the one who's after us. We don't need to be afraid, for he is a seeking Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but to save you. We read this in John 3:17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so, yes, we are all fugitives because of sin, but Jesus seeks us not as the deputy, not as the condemning judge. He seeks us as the Savior. He seeks us as the one willing and able to pay the price for our sin. He seeks us as the one who stands in our place and receives the sentence for us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. And so Jesus didn't come just to offer sympathy or encouragement or a helping hand. He didn't come to tell us, hey, you're not so bad after all. He didn't come to leave us in our sin and despair. He didn't come simply to reform us. He came to save us because we needed saving. He came to redeem us. He came to pull us out of the pit of sin. He came to give us forgiveness and hope and meaning and purpose. He came to bring us back from the dead. We were spiritually dead in our sins. He came to bring us back from the dead and give us new life. We were fugitives. Jesus came seeking us, praise God, not to condemn us, but to save. He is not the seeking judge. He is the seeking Savior. Francis Thompson wrote a remarkable poem back in the 1800s called The Hound of Heaven. What an interesting title, very striking imagery, The Hound of Heaven. And in the poem, Thompson writes about how he fled God down the nights and down the days and down the arches of the years. And he writes about those strong feet that followed after with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy. They beat, and a voice beat, more instant than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayest me. And as the hound continues to pursue him through his life, Thompson writes, although I knew his love who followed, yet I was sore adread, lest having him, I must have nothing else beside. And then finally, after years and years of running, finally Thompson surrenders to his master. And it's only then he finds that the one from whom he has been running all these years, that one is everything that he has been seeking. And God himself speaks to him in the close of the poem and says, all which I took from thee, I did but take not for thy harms, but just that thou mightst seek it in my arms. And all which thy child's mistake fancies as lost, I have stored for thee at home. Rise, clasp my hand and come. Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. Remember, we said no one seeks God, and that's why God comes seeking us. See, when Jesus seeks you and finds you and saves you, guess what? Now you seek him. You were looking for him all your life, but your sin made you hide from him. Your sin made you run from him. Your sin made you want to escape at all costs. You were looking for God in all the wrong places, but now that he has saved you, you seek him first. Psalm 27:4 says this, One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 105, verse 3 says, "Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Once Jesus finds you, then you seek him. Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus, found him in the sycamore tree. And when Jesus found him, Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't condemn him. Rather, Jesus extended friendship to him. And Zacchaeus responded by welcoming him gladly into his home. Jesus did not condemn Zacchaeus for his sin, but he did not leave him in his sin either. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He became wealthy at the expense of others. He overcharged the people. He cheated them out of their money. He had betrayed his own people in order to collect taxes for the Roman Empire. But look at the change in his heart. Look at the joyful repentance. Once Jesus found him, now he's seeking Jesus. And he was glad to leave all of his sin behind. He said, "Lord, right now, here now, I give half my possessions to the poor. I don't want it anymore. If I've cheated anybody, I'll give back four times the amount." And Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and his changed heart, and Jesus proclaimed, "Today salvation has come to this house." And why? Why did salvation come to Zacchaeus that day in that meeting place? Because the seeking Savior, the hound of heaven, finally caught up with Zacchaeus. He arrested him in his tracks and saved him from a life of sin and selfishness and misery. And you know what? Zacchaeus would never, ever be the same. One final point. The Son of Man came to seek. The Son of Man came to save. Thirdly, the Son of Man came for the lost. Jesus didn't come seeking the righteous, the religious, the proud, the strong, the good. Jesus came for the lost. That word lost means that which has perished, that which has no hope left, no sign of life. In other words, that word lost means us. That's us, folks. It's the picture of the good shepherd searching diligently for the lost sheep until he finds it. And you and I, we are that lost sheep. We are that lost sheep fallen on the ledge of the cliff, legs broken, hungry, scared, dying, crying for mercy. We have nothing to offer God for our salvation, no merit of our own. The Bible says all have sinned, all have fallen short of God's glory. We are lost, and unless God saves us, we perish. And so what do we need to do? We need to repent. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We confess our sin. We confess that we're sinners. Even the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, wrote in 1 Timothy 1, he said, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." You see, your sin is never an obstacle to God's salvation. Your sin is never an obstacle. Only your pride, only your lack of faith and repentance stand in the way. Zacchaeus was lost. His name means the righteous one. Isn't that interesting? But he was far from righteous. The people hated him, and he knew it. He was greedy. He was miserable. He was a traitor. In fact, when Jesus went to his house, all the people muttered, "Jesus has gone to the house of a sinner." As if they weren't sinners, right? Well, who did salvation come to that day? Salvation did not come to the self-righteous mutterers that day. It came to the lost sinner, who knew he was lost and who gladly welcomed the seeking Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I would like to close our message this morning with three challenges by way of application. The first challenge goes to those of you who do not yet know Christ personally. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior in your life, the Bible says you are lost. You are lost and you will perish. Someone once said, there is one thing worse than being lost. There's one thing worse than being lost. It's when you're lost and no one is looking for you. And the good news of the gospel this morning is this. Someone's looking for you. Jesus is looking for you. He has been seeking you for a long time now. Perhaps you've felt the footsteps of the hound of heaven close behind you for some time. Have you been running from him? Hiding from him? Let me ask you why. Why would you do that? Jesus seeks you not to condemn, not to destroy, but to save. And so God tells you to climb down from your sycamore. Whatever it is that is keeping you from Jesus, climb down from that and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. May today be your day of salvation. May this place be your meeting place with Jesus. Second challenge this morning is for some of the believers here today. Some of you know Christ, but you have lost your passion or your fire as a believer. You've been pulled and distracted by the world so much that you no longer seek one thing. You are saved, but you have lost your first love. Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. And that includes your first love if you've lost that. Please know this morning, God has not given up on you. But he will pursue you with his love and with his discipline until you seek him and him alone. God is not far from you. He seeks to restore your relationship with him. Stop running. Return to him, and he will return to you. And then thirdly and lastly, as believers, we have all been given a commission. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And as the Savior, Jesus still seeks the lost. Jesus still does that, but he has entrusted the task of sharing the gospel to us. That's our job, right? So how are we doing? Do we seek out the lost for salvation with the same diligence as Christ? Because you see, we need to. Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and we are to continue his work. Someone's after you. Praise God! The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you that you are the seeking Savior, that you are not a God who is far away from us. You are not a God who is seeking to judge or condemn us. You do not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior. I pray today would be the day. I pray that this place would be the meeting place. I pray that they would cry out to you even now, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and you are seeking me. Lord, I don't understand that, how you would seek me when I've sinned against you, but I believe it. I believe your love for me. I believe your death on the cross for me. And Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Savior. I'm going to stop running. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. If that's you today, I pray that you would pray those words or something similar to that and receive Jesus as your Savior today. Lord, some of us have lost our passion. We're just kind of drifting along. And Lord, I pray that this message would help us to set us on the right path again. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for
continuing to pursue, even when we remain stagnant, even when we run the other way. And Lord Jesus, there are lost people all around us. Every day we have an opportunity to say a word for you, to share the gospel with someone. Lord, help us be the means that you seek others for your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.